On this episode of the podcast, I sit down with Emma Gibson and Phoebe Laurie to discuss the recent Girls in Gi competition that they both competed in. We talk about their expectations leading up to the competition, during and after. And we also have a little chat with Emma about her up-and-coming blue belt test, which she was due to do a couple of days after the recording. And she has now completed and is a blue belt. So Emma, congratulations and thank you to you both for being on the podcast. So tune in and I hope you all enjoy. Hello everybody, I am here with Emma and Phoebe today.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Phoebe's first appearance on the podcast. Welcome, Phoebe.
Thank you.
And Emma is a seasoned professional now. This is your second.
Good to be back. Yeah. Thanks, Brad.
You're very welcome. So I'll start off by saying Emma was on, and I believe, episode 5.
That's right.
Emma Gibson. So after this podcast, if you haven't already seen that, go back and check out her actual martial arts journey and hear about her story. So we won't cover that on this episode today, but Phoebe, as an introduction, do you want to tell us exactly how you got started in martial arts?
Yeah, well, it wasn't until maybe Easter this year that I first... Jiu-Jitsu is my first martial art that I've ever done. It's interesting how it all came about, looking back, because I just, this year I've had lots of free time and I just needed something to do with it. I just moved to Sydney as well and I was looking for friends, a community, that kind of thing. I was like, you know what, martial art would be really cool. It'd be cool if I did a martial art. I'd be really badass. And so I just did some research online about all the different martial arts and it kind of ended up on jiu-jitsu. And then I was looking up gyms in the area and different prices. And then I think I talked to John about this a while ago. But what actually, I was just kind of looking around. I wasn't kind of intending to turn up to a place and say, like, hi, can I do a free class or that kind of thing? And then there was this one gym that had 2 weeks free trial. And I was telling my mom about it. I was like, Mom, this is really cool. She was like, all right, let's call up. They've got a class on Thursday night, right? It's Thursday. Call up, see if you can go tonight. And I was kind of like, oh, okay.
Well, Mom, let me build up to this, please.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready.
So I called up. Yeah, I just went out because it's strange things. I found a lot of the things that I end up really loving, I don't kind of just think, you know what, it'd be really cool if I did this. I'm going to do this. I think I really love it and I really want to do this in my life at the moment kind of thing. They just kind of happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's just someone says, oh, why don't you do it? And you're like, oh, okay, why don't I? And then 3 years later, yeah. Yeah, so jiu-jitsu has been one of those for me. And I shopped around for some gyms and found high jiu-jitsu and it had really good community, was small and had really good kind of core values. Not explicitly stated, but kind of that come across in every class and through John. And
good.
Yeah, and I just kind of stayed.
And how long has it been now?
That
you've been at the gym, I should say?
Yeah, getting close to 8 months, maybe 9.
Yeah. Can I ask, was there any particular reason why you said martial arts? It'd be cool if I started a martial art. Is there any specific reason why you chose jiu-jitsu over something else?
Yeah, well, I was looking for self-defense because as a woman and who's, like, now left school and is going out to uni and parties and all that kind of thing more than I ever have, that's kind of something. My mum's pretty, like, oh, no, I don't want you staying out late, that kind of thing, as mums do.
So this makes it a good excuse. It's all right, mum, I can stay out late. I'm self-defense trained.
I can just joke about. Yeah. Yeah. So self-defense was something I was looking for, definitely. But also it just seemed like, it also seemed like something I'd never ever done before. Like when you first start jiu-jitsu, it's kind of shocking how strange it is, because it's very, I think you were saying personal space just doesn't exist in jiu-jitsu. Yeah. And yeah, I wasn't used to that, and I just wanted to try something really out there and really different, I guess, but while also getting skills in self-defense and like in how to move my body and getting some exercise and that kind of thing. Yeah, so good.
And hopefully we gave you the community that you were looking for.
It wasn't quite the community I was expecting, but it's one I like a lot regardless.
So that's really your story. Is it much else to it than that?
No, not really. Good.
It's kind of a happy, impulsive adventure. We kept you on for as long as we can.
Now she's stuck in it forever.
Yeah. Oh no.
You have your blue belt in no time. Keep training and that'll come around, and then you'll be doing it forever.
Yeah.
Hopefully. That's the plan, right?
Yeah. That is the plan. Well, it's other people's plan for me at the gym. John's plan, probably. But it is also becoming my plan more and more. Good. Yeah, which is really good. The longer I stick with it, the more I kind of fall in love.
Imagine yourself being like 80-year-old woman and like being like, sorry, don't worry, great-great-grandchildren, I'm going off to jiu-jitsu, look after yourselves. I'll be back soon.
Has anything surprised you about jiu-jitsu in general compared to expectations coming in, other than maybe the personal space thing?
That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, I guess like this kind of the aura of doing a martial art for the first time. Like, I'm going to kill this. I'm going to be able to, like, slam people on the ground so when they come up behind me, like, that kind of thing. Like, the stuff you see in movies. So there was... I was saying a while ago, when I first started, like, there was this kind of, like, glow to it.
Mm.
Of, like, oh, I'm learning... For the first time ever, I'm learning techniques that could, like, choke people out or break arms. And it's really new and crazy and, like, awesome. Yeah, but the more I do it, like, that kind of shine has worn off a little bit, and now I'm used to putting people in arm bars and that kind of thing. So it was interesting that it wasn't like the movies. I probably should have seen it coming, but yeah, and it's a slow process, but also an enjoyable one of learning techniques and moves and just, yeah, it's not you learn the technique and then you can knock someone out with it. It's you learn the technique and then you relearn it and you learn it again 3 weeks later, and then another 3 weeks later you learn some more details on it and
continually refine.
How
about you, Emma?
Yeah, you feel like you have learned something and then you realize how much more of it there is to learn. And the more I do this, the more I realize how much there is I don't know. But it's really exciting, because you'll see something at the beginning and you're like, oh, that's a really cool move, I want to learn how to do that, and then that's a really cool aspect of that move that will make it so much more effective. So once you go into that with the really small details, I think it becomes more and more addictive. You just crave all those extra details.
It's funny you say that. The more you learn, the more you realize like things you don't know. That's like, that's jiu-jitsu right there. Like, it just doesn't end, hey? Like, and even just the guards. Like, you know, we do, you know, close guard, open guard, but there's so many other guards. X-guard, spider guard, like,
Butterfly.
Even more, butterfly guard. There's all these guards at our gym. We use butterfly guard a little bit, but there's a lot of guards we don't really play much with, that if you went somewhere else, you'd see guards that you probably have never seen before. You might even experience that in competitions as well. If you fight against other people, and then they start using this guard, you're like,
like, what is this?
get off my legs, damn it!
As someone who's competed, I can say that's very accurate.
Which brings us to the main purpose of today, right? You girls are the girls in gi, right?
Seamless.
So the main reason we came here today, aside from talking to Em and Phoebe and hearing Phoebe's story, was to chat about the recent competition that you girls were both in. Do you want to tell us, to start with, I think Emma, you were the first person, right, that found out about this and had interest. Do you want to tell us about how that came about?
Yeah, so I was listening to a podcast. I mentioned it when I was on last time, Aussie Grappling Girls, and I'd just been listening to their episode about competitions, and I changed my mind about 5 times through that podcast of whether I should do a comp or not. And they were like, oh, if you're injured, let yourself recover first. And I was like, great, no reason, that's a reason to not have to do a comp, I'm safe. And then they talked about how much they enjoyed it. And I was like, oh, that does actually sound really fun. And I was like, you know what, the shoulder injury has been here for 4 years. It's not going to go anywhere anytime soon, so I'm not going to let it stop me. And they talked about different competitions, and I looked up the Australian Girls in Gi. And they talked about that in the podcast, and I'd spoken to some other women about going to their open mats and things, and they'd said that it was a really nice, friendly environment. So my concern with a comp was of getting injured, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to get injured and then not be able to train for 6 months. So I wanted to be somewhere where I could learn and be safe and to actually train with other girls. So we've got some girls in our gym, but there's not a lot of us, and there are a lot of
beginners as well.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm always comparing myself to the guys, so I wanted an opportunity to compare myself to other female jiu-jitsu players to see whereabouts I sat in the field whilst I was building up for my blue belt. I wanted to put myself up against other girls of my level and kind of see where I fared. I knew that John would only put me up for my grading if he thought I was ready, mm-hmm. but I wanted to know in myself that I was ready and that I matched up to where I should be mm-hmm. with other girls. So that was one reason to go into it. And I wanted to test and find out what I didn't know. So we learn a lot of techniques, like you were saying, in the gym, but you don't really know where your gaps are if you're doing the same techniques. And we go through our syllabus, which is a brilliant syllabus, but I wasn't really sure where I wasn't training and where I wasn't honing in my techniques. And so in the prep for the comp, I learnt my huge gaps for 7 times. So a lot of it was like the standing. And that was a huge learning curve, and that was terrifying. Yeah. Every time I stand up to have to take someone down, I still like my heart pounds and I panic. But I did a lot of training with Danny with the takedowns, and that really helped. So I worked a lot with that and did a lot of one-on-ones with John, and that really my technique improved so much. So one of the key things for me was to learn and to improve my technique and to be able to focus on what I was doing rather than focusing on all of us in the gym.
Yeah.
So that really helped to have that one-on-one time. I really learned where I needed to just focus my attention. And I was really impressed with myself of how much tighter things got and the detail. And it would just click because John would say something every class and I'd be like, yeah, okay, I've heard it. And then he would say it and we'd just tweak it in a one-to-one, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's what you've been talking about for the last 6 months. Now I get it. So it made a huge difference. I really enjoyed it. So I'm really glad that I put myself into it. And it was hard, like with the training towards it. And when it was 4 months away, it was like, oh yeah, I'll do that comp, it'll be fine. And then the closer it gets, you're like, why am I doing this? I was really relieved when Phoebe joined in to do it as well, because I don't know how I'd have like got through that day without you there, because it was just the adrenaline the fear just like hits you.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Because I didn't do that much prep actually for the competition. Probably, thanks, Brad. Probably because, like, I haven't been training for quite as long as you have. So for me, it wasn't in the build up to anything almost. It was kind of just a, why not? Like, I've been training for a little while. I kind of want to check out what competition's about. Some people were asking me about it as well. Like, have you thought of competing? And I was kind of, that made me think about competing. Yeah. And
I hadn't, but now I
well, now I do. Yeah. And yeah, so I didn't prepare very much at all. I was sick and working a lot in the week actually leading up to it. And then it kind of got to Sunday morning, or it might have been the night before or something like that. And it just hit me. I was like, crap. Like, I had adrenaline through the whole day. Like, the fear just hits you, and you realize when you realize you're actually doing it and you're gonna go into a square and fight people, it really gets to you. Yeah, and so I was surprised because I had like a pretty chill mentality going into it. Like, I'm pretty much a beginner, I'm just gonna go and see what it's about, stay safe, and kind of just see this other dimension of jiu-jitsu that I haven't found anything out about yet.
Because I was really impressed in the build-up to it. You were just so chill about it. You're like, yeah, the smile on your face. Yeah, just like, yeah, I'll be fine. And I'm like, whoa, I'm freaking out. Yeah. Phoebe's so calm. I've got to be calm. If Phoebe's calm, I must look calm.
Yeah, and it did hit me on Sunday that this is something I'm doing. And it's when you start, like, planning the day and, like, what you're going to pack to eat and how you're going to get there and what you're going to wear and that kind of thing. That it really grounds it in that this is happening.
I think it was the fear of the unknown as well. Like, we didn't really know what to expect.
Yeah.
And I'd been away when the guys had done their comps, so I hadn't been able to go and observe a comp and see what it was like. And then I watched some YouTube videos the weeks leading up to it and wished I hadn't, because they were fierce.
It just made it worse.
Yeah, I wish I hadn't watched it. So I think we'd be better equipped the second time we did it, because we'll still have the fear, but we won't have that fear of the unknown, because we'll kind of have an idea of what.
Yeah,
we know that, what's going on.
Yeah.
And I remember when I decided to do it, I was just sat outside having lunch in the garden, and I think I was just having a little break from my thesis, and I was listening to the podcast, and I messaged Brad and Leon, because we had a little chat from the first podcast that I did, and I was like, I'm thinking of doing this this competition that's coming up on this date. If I don't tell you that I'm going to do it, then I'll wake up tomorrow morning and think it's a stupid idea and I won't ever do it. So I'm telling you guys, because you'll have to hold me responsible for it. And I just kind of hovered my thumb over the send button. I was like, press center, that's it, you gotta do it now, and Brad will make you do it.
And I was like, straight away I was like, yep, then we'll schedule in a podcast.
And here we are.
Self-interest in mind, of course. Nah.
So how did you find it on the day? So you talked about the build-up to it the night before and that adrenaline hitting. How did you, was it as scary as you thought it was going to be on the day, or?
I guess I kind of hadn't even thought about it very much, and that's why it hadn't quite hit me. And then suddenly I was thinking about it. And it was scary. Not, like, I used to row competitively. So I did competitions for rowing. And it's very similar. Like, you have a time that your race is at, and you have to go to the start line, like, 15 minutes beforehand, and warm up like half an hour beforehand, and you spend the whole day kind of just sitting there kind of waiting for this to happen, and then it happens for 8 minutes and then it's over kind of thing.
So much build up.
Yeah, and it's, so I've had a little bit of experience in kind of having adrenaline running through you and just having to sit there and stay calm and wait almost. Sorry, what was the question?
So was it as scary on the day
as
you'd thought it was going to be the night before?
Yeah, it was scary. Yeah. Very scary. Yeah.
Because you did no gi and gi.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd spoken to the guys when they'd done theirs, and they'd all been absolutely exhausted. They'd said the adrenaline dump was crazy, and they were exhausted doing both. And I knew that my shoulder wouldn't be able to do both. So I was like, okay, I'll just do gi, because the chokes, so some of the attack, the submissions familiar. And things, yeah, and we do a lot more gi. So I was like, okay, I'd done a lot of my prep in gi, so I was like, okay, even though I can wriggle out with no gi. Yeah. I feel more confident with gi, so I'll stick with it. Yeah. So I remember watching you. I got there and I was really nervous, and then you were doing your no gi, and I just completely stopped thinking about it. It wasn't my experience anymore. I was just like focused on watching you do yours, and it suddenly went from being a solo experience to being a team experience.
Yeah.
And that just made it so much stronger. And it was like, you know what? It doesn't matter how today goes, because we're here and we're doing this, and I'm so damn proud of us for being here and doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
That I was like, you know what? If we lose all of our fights, if we go out and we've got our arms in slings, we'll still have a smile on our face. So it'll be fine. Yeah. And so what was the biggest shock for you, do you think, on the day? Or that's like the biggest surprise?
Yeah, well, it was kind of like, not what I expected, but like something I could have expected up until, like, I had to get up to do my first fight.
Yeah.
Against another girl, and put the belt on and shook hands, and the ref went, put the arm down, and suddenly we were fighting. And just like the fierceness of it, I guess, because in high we don't, at high jiu-jitsu, we don't really fight fiercely usually. Yeah. Because we want to be safe and all that kind of thing. And yeah, it's just more of a learning environment. But yeah, it was just very scary. Like, even though you know that you've got some defense and you've been working on this and you know how to stay safe, having someone a meter away from you, like looking to take you down, it's just, it's a terrifying thing, and you don't quite, it's always something you have to experience. You can't even really like describe it, because once it happens to you, you're like, oh my God, I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because the intensity.
Yeah.
So I made me appreciate how we train at the gym, because we are very safe, and I feel really safe that if someone takes my arm, I know that once they've got my arm, they're going to slow it down and they're going to
wait,
use
for the
technique.
Tap, give you the opportunity to tap.
Yes, that we're going to have that opportunity. Whereas in the comp, I didn't know these people, and there was that speed there, and the adrenaline's going through me and it's going through them. So that opportunity to tap, that opportunity to stay safe, just that those split seconds just weren't there anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was very different to how we train. And I think if I do another one, it's, and Phil said to me when we went to Melbourne a few months before, he says you need to get your intensity up pre-comp, because he knows how we train at the gym, and I'd done a lot of training with the boys in prep for it, and we'd built the intensity up. But that looking someone in the eye and like, you know that one of you's got to go down. And I did an open mat with girls in gi about 3 weeks before, just to have an opportunity to train with some girls before the comp, and fractured my nose half an hour into the 2 hour session.
Really?
So yeah, so we both went in for double leg takedown, and I kept my lovely posture as John had taught us to, and she came straight down at a 45 degree angle and cracked my nose, and I spent the rest of the 2 hour session holding an ice pack to my nose and stopping the bleeding. But I still left with a smile on my face, because I was like, the worst happened.
Yeah.
I was worried of coming in here and getting injured, and I got injured and I still had an amazing time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my fear with the comp was that fear kind of gone when I went to the comp of, okay, well, if I get injured, I know that I'll still be okay. But it added that fear with the takedowns, that I was like, I'm not prepared. I'm not going to risk it again.
Mm.
And I don't regret that at all. I'm like, my instinct was to stay safe. And that's one of my, like, if you talk about game, that's probably my game with jiu-jitsu, is that when I train with you guys, I don't go for a sub.
Mm.
I go to keep safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that if we do long rolls, then the guys will tire out, and that's when I can go in. And so I'm like, if I stay safe, I feel like I've won. That's my objective. Because if I have to use this on the street, that's what I need to be able to do. I don't need to be able to armbar the person. I need to keep myself safe. And then if I get to do get to sub or get the hell out of there, then that's what I'm aiming to do. I'd spent like 18 months before the comp working on defending myself. So, and the other girls there, it was really clear from the moment I walked in that they'd spent their whole journey practicing attacks. And I was like, well, okay,
yeah,
I know how today's going to go, but that's all right. So I focused on staying safe. I didn't really focus on getting those subs in. I was like, if something appears, then I'll take that opportunity.
Yeah.
But I'm keeping myself safe. And that worked. I got another elbow to the nose. But I had my hands pinned and I avoided another 20 elbows to the nose from the first experience. So it was good. And I think I achieved my objectives of going in there. I learned a lot up to it. I learned a lot from it and I stayed safe. So then I think my next part of my journey now is going to be looking for those opportunities to sub and working on like linking different attacks together. So one doesn't work, the next one will go, you try this and then you try this, which now I'm confident with my defense and I've tested my defense out on people and I know that my defense works and it's up to a good level. Now I can start working on that, attacking other people. So it's given me a good direction of where to take my jiu-jitsu next, which is, so I feel like I got what I achieved too.
So that's a message to everyone in the gym. If you roll with M, protect yourself because she'll be coming for you.
She's working on her attacks.
Yeah, you gotta watch yourself. M, can I ask, that, would you say it was a seminar, open mat? The open mat you did, like, what was it? How far out from a comp was it?
3 weeks before.
3 weeks before. Yeah. So for that open mat, obviously, so prior to that, you're going into the competition, obviously knowing what your level is, but not really knowing where anyone else is, and you're trying to, you know, you want to figure out where you rank up, which is the whole purpose for this.
Yeah, so I went to the open mat to suss out the competition.
Yeah, and did you come out of that any clearer or any more confidence or any more concerns?
Well, I chatted to people before and none of them were doing the comp. So I was like, okay, well, I'm not actually sussing out who I'm going to be against, but it gives me an idea of what the level is. and it did help. It gave me a bit of an idea. Unfortunately, I didn't get to roll with many people before I got injured, but I was still able to watch other people and see how they were doing. And so it was really helpful. I think I would probably choose open mat over comp for learning where I fare up to other people.
Yeah.
Because I can't believe how tired I was. So you do we were doing 5-6 minute rounds.
Yeah.
And we were exhausted after, and I'm like, we did like a 3-hour training session, like the weeks building up to it, and we were okay. We could still talk and we could still go out for food afterwards. But that 5 minutes, I couldn't stand up because my whole body is shaking and you can't really, and you're just holding on to not like letting all your emotions burst out of you.
Yeah.
Whereas with the open mat, I could have a sip of water and get back on the mat again afterwards because there wasn't that adrenaline dunk straight afterwards. So for learning my technique, the open mat was much more useful for me. So I think I would want to do more of that before I then stepped into another comp.
Yeah.
Just getting used to facing someone who isn't a friendly face from my gym.
Yeah, and open mat will help with that.
Yeah.
Because you've still got to go into it not knowing what, you know, what their game is or what they're looking for, which is still the same experience you're going to get in a competition.
Yeah.
Like, because you're not going to know what they want to do.
No.
Like, I, in my roles, there was one, like, in my comp, and I don't want to digress away from you, but there was, like, one of my guys was looking for legs the whole time, he was trying to set up, like, knee bars, like, basically looking for my legs. Another guy was looking for kept trying to hunt under my elbow. Another guy was just trying to find top position. People play differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So, and going into a comp puts you in a position where you have no idea what they want to do. You just got to figure it out, hey? So, and I like your, I like the concept of just, you just want to stay safe. So like, which is the same thing in the street, just survive.
Yeah.
Survive first, then defend. Then once you've defended, you can escape.
Yeah.
Or look for something if it's there.
Yeah.
But survival first.
You don't have to win.
Yeah.
You just have to stay safe and escape. Yeah.
Mm. How about you? Any, well, you obviously, you didn't really do much preparing. You just kind of rocked up, hey? You got thrown under the bus and put in, hey? So tell me how you actually got enrolled in the comp, because I don't think you planned and then chose.
Well, actually, I think I did. There was just a thing on Facebook about Girls in Gi competition coming up. And I just, like, clicked interested because I was interested. I'd been thinking about competition a little bit. And then the next I hear of it, I heard from you, Brad, that Emma was doing it and that apparently she said I was too. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I am. Yeah, so, like, it was good. Like, it's the little push that you kind of need sometimes to, like, your push was sending that text message yeah. and then that yeah. was it, that were going to make you do it. Mine was that you were doing it, which was one thing. Having someone else to do it with you is, like, if you're doing anything unknown, having someone else to do it with yes. you is similar, in a similar yeah. place. Really, yeah, really helps. Yeah, yeah. But also just that, like, there was suddenly a time and a place and a date. And
the date suddenly got much closer.
Yes, it did. Yeah, it did. Yeah, so on the actual day, yeah, it was... It was good. It, like, it's interesting what you're saying about the open map versus competition, and about how it's about rolling with someone you don't know, what you don't know what their intentions are. And it's really interesting. And the whole adrenaline dump thing, that some, like, some of the matches that you have, because I think I had maybe five, and, like, my first one was just, like, a minute in. It was just, I was so tired. Like every single movement took effort and, like, physical, mental effort to just, like, move my arms and keep them there and hold her down kind of thing, stop her from doing anything. But then the next ones after that, like, I was less tired, and it kind of drove home that in a competition, like, sometimes it's just about where you are in that moment. It's only 5 minutes long, and those 5 minutes, like, determine everything. It's not about, like, what happens after the 5 minutes. Maybe if you'd kept going for 5 minutes more, you would have stayed safe for longer and submitted them. It's kind of just those 5 minutes, and if you ate something bad beforehand, or you just hadn't gotten rid of your adrenaline, like, everything can change just depending on
there's so many variables really... that are completely, like, out of your control.
Yeah.
And what I found is that 90% of what I'd learned just disappeared.
Flew out the window. Yeah.
I mean, like, I could do all that prep and everything that I'd learned, just, it was just gone. Yeah. And it's the things that you've really drilled in that you have the really bare basics.
So it's your the moves that you've learned on an instinctive level.
Yes.
And so, and what you want that to be is the fundamentals.
Yeah, because you don't have the capacity to be able to think anymore. You're just thinking, please don't kill me, please don't kill me, please don't kill me.
On a loop in your brain, for the whole 5 minutes. Yeah.
You can't think, oh, I need to do this, I need to do this. You just got to, your body will just do those instinctive things a lot of the time.
And what was really interesting for me as well, that I think that drove home, that for me it's more about your mentality going in. Because you can't, it's really hard to think to yourself when you're in the middle of a fight, like, just breathe, stay calm, like, because you can run a track of these things during rolls, and for me they help a lot, because like, I'll panic a little bit, and if someone gives me some advice before I roll about, like, just look for what they're giving you and stay on top and stay calm, stay controlled, that will really help for the next, like, 5 minutes, because I can just keep telling myself that. But in competition that all goes out the window and you can't think anything but panic and trying to stay safe and survive. And having, because we had Taryn there and he'd just yell out during the competition, having someone to just yell, like, you're okay, just breathe, keep calm, you've got it, just keep going, just breathe, survive, stay safe. Like, having someone externally have that, that really, really helped me in competition, which is, I think, because I was missing the internal in that situation of... just stay calm kind of thing.
Yeah, you needed
someone else. Which really drove home how important that was for me to establish, in a, because that's something we work on a lot at higher as well, is with the flow rolls and having, like, eyes closed, some people have been doing recently.
Yeah.
And it's all about your mentality and staying calm. And
at higher we have that time to be able to say to yourself, just breathe.
Yeah.
And we didn't have that time because the blood is just pumping and everything moves so fast. And then suddenly that voice will appear and it'll be like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? Do something. And then you just have Taryn going, it's okay, you're doing all right. And it's good. And it just shuts that panic and that voice back down, being like,
yeah,
okay. Taryn says, I'm doing all right. Okay. Taryn can see both of us right now. It's fine. I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we need to say a big thank you to Taryn.
Yeah, definitely. For the day.
And for Brad and John coming along, having the support and knowing that you guys were coming was... No. It made a huge difference.
Even though I got there a little bit late, sorry.
It's all right.
It's okay.
The intention was there.
Yeah.
There you go. So that's one takeaway for everyone competing. And you mentioned that it was really nice having someone there doing it with you, made it a lot easier.
Yeah, definitely.
I remember when I first competed, and I think there was a bunch of us as white belts who all competed for the first time, like me, Leon, Brendan, was there something, any other people? There was a few people, so forgive me if I forgot your name, but we all went in together, and that helped. First time for all of us. It helps to do it with other people. And further to that, it helps having people there supporting, A, to spectate, and B, to be in your corner.
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, for anyone who's competing, you should definitely have people supporting
you. Drag some people.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because some people there would be, like, 8 people from the school, and then there were, like, 20 people watching.
Mm.
And you're there on the mat, and you're tapping hands, and you know that there's you and your 2 people supporting you, and then the other 25 people watching are all gunning against you and all hoping you lose, and you're like, it's okay because I've got those 2 people and they're in my corner.
I really liked
the attitudes between the gyms. That was something that like really surprised me and was really nice. That we finished our fights and the coach from the gym would come across and gave us a high five and was like, thank you.
It was really good.
So
job.
It was it was a really supportive networks there as well.
That girls in gi, it surprised me. Because I thought it was a competition, like, you know, like grappling industries is just like strictly huge competition, right? And it's huge. But girls in gi, which is obviously for girls.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, is it a brand now? And further, they've got, they're doing like, you know, like jiu-jitsu trips and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, they
like
have an annual camps. Camp. They have an annual camp, which is like a 4-day camp, and then they have open mats in each city twice a year, I think, maybe.
Mm.
And then I don't know whether it's an annual, I think it's a biannual competition as well. And they said when we were there, so it doesn't matter if you lose all your fights, it's not a knockout round, so you still get to fight everybody in your division, because it's the aim is to learn and to train with other people. And they put you in a group, so your division is your belt and your weight matched, but they put you in a group where you're not with the people from your gym. Which was really good, because Phoebe and I were worried that we'd ended up fighting at the same time and wouldn't get to support each other. So we ended up being on the same mat, and they alternated our groups.
2 different divisions.
Right.
Yeah. And it was really good, because I'm like, well, we roll with each other every week. So when we've only got a handful of fights, you don't necessarily need to roll with the person that you came there with. So they organised it really well. I was really impressed with how they did it.
Yeah.
It was really supportive. And you'd be sat there with the people in your division talking to them, and then you'd get on the fight and you would on the mat and you would just see it, their eyes change, and you'd just be like, oh, this isn't the like person the that movies. Was smiling at me a minute ago, she's coming for me. And then you'd finish the fight and then you'd give each other a big hug, and they'd be like, that was really cool when you did that, and that was really good. And then they'd be calling out for you when you do your next fight. They'd be going, watch out for that, or put your arm here. And so you had other people in your corner then.
So you went there with like 2 people.
Your corner grew while you were there.
Your corner grew.
Great.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
So I recommend to any girls that if you're considering doing a comp or doing, you just want to train with some other girls, the Australian Girls in Gi is a brilliant atmosphere to do it in. I'd definitely do go with them again.
Because I went to last Sunday, actually, I went to Taryn and John's comp, which was a sub only pro one. That was huge. It was in Blacktown Leisure Centre, and like this huge hall and heaps of mats and like a huge electronic system of who's on next and who won and that kind of thing. And I was comparing it to our comp, and I said ours kind of felt more like the fights were really intense. I think the fights would have been the same no matter what competition you're in,
for sure.
But the kind of atmosphere of everything else was almost like more like a Sunday barbecue or like like a youth group kind of thing than and the big comp I went to was more like a state swimming championship or something like that.
Oh yeah,
with like with medals and microphones and that kind of thing. Yeah,
but so that's good though, because
it really brought into perspective how good the Golden Gi one was and how good for us as well, because it was our first competition and we had no idea about anything.
And all those other comps, like, you know, Grappling Industries and the Sub Only Pro and all those ones, they're still women's divisions there. So it's not like you can't attend those. So if you want to go to those ones where it's strictly competition and like intense, they're there. But if you want the barbecue and the if you want something a little bit more relaxed to enjoy, like Girls and Geese, I don't think guys have anything that's of the equivalent.
No.
Yeah.
Like ours, you have every day on the mats, you get to train with 20 other guys, so you get to fight with them, whereas it's very rare that we get the opportunity to train with many girls.
Yeah, but it's also a shame that, because I think, I don't know, I guess people would argue about what competing is supposed to be about, but at the Girls and Gi one, it was about fighting in like that charged 5 minutes of kind of just panic and craziness and seeing how you do and how you react to that situation and whether you do well or not. But it was also about kind of just giving it a go and participation and meeting people, and it was really friendly and kind of encouraging. Whereas I think sometimes at the bigger competitions, competing can be more about winning and about like just the atmosphere behind it makes the fights are the same, but the atmosphere behind it makes it about something different. And I think it's a real shame that there aren't more smaller competitions that kind of encourage the whole competing, but not, it's not about winning and who wins and who does the best, and it's about how you improve and what you learn and all that kind of
thing. And I think, so I've just listened to the podcast that John and Brad did, and they were talking about when John started the commune and he wanted to have people from different gyms training together so you could see other people's styles. Yeah.
Share styles and everything, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what the Australian Girls in Gi is going for, is it building that community of female jiu-jitsu, because they know that most of us are in a gym with a handful of girls. So to have you all together and you can try out each other's techniques and learn.
Yeah.
So I think they're doing a bigger version, I think, of what John was trying to do, plus then adding competitions into it as
and
well.
And camps and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's good. So, it's good.
Yeah.
Can I ask, now that you've talked about sort of like the day and everything, I want to ask, was it any different to what you expected? Like, so, you know, you talked about how you felt going in and how you felt during the comp, but like on reflection, now that you look back, was it more intense than you thought, or less intense, or more fun, or how do you feel about it now?
I think it was more intense, but also more fun.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to have such a good community there and to make friends with people there.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect to be so exhausted.
Yeah.
I didn't know that 5 minutes could be so draining.
Yeah.
So it was just every emotion that I experienced that day was just like amped up to what I thought it was going to be. I knew it was going to be tough and I knew that it would be tiring, but I felt so much better after it, having had that intense and that experience. Exhaustion and so
kind of puts things into perspective a little bit.
Yeah.
My daily life, like, oh, my daily life is actually pretty good, pretty calm and nice and not too intense. Yeah, there was one fight where I just I came out of it, I think I'd lost to a guillotine, maybe standing guillotine, in not very long, maybe a minute or two. And I just came out and I was just crying. And you guys were like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, just emotions, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's just so much going on during the fight. It just finishes and just everything kind of comes out. for a minute or two. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm not sad. I'm not intense. Angry. I'm just this. You're just so tired that you can't keep it in. You're just like, no, my face is just leaking. I have no control to be over crying this. Right now.
It's I'm impartial to what is happening. Yeah. Right now.
Yeah. No. So it was. It was more fun than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
To be honest. Because of all the community and meeting people and like, you know, doing exercise for a good long while and then going out for lunch afterwards is lots of fun.
Yeah.
Especially with people, you know.
And it's like, it's bonded us as well. Like we were friends before it and now I'm like, we're survivors.
We were on the same island together for a whole day and we survived.
Yeah. Em, you've been training for how long exactly now?
March will be 2 years, so what, like a year and three quarters?
Okay, yeah. Year and three quarters, and you said at the start of the podcast that about 8 months.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this question for you, Em, but do you think that 8 months is like now that you've competed and you know what level you're at and you've tested against other people, would you advise someone who's like a female that hasn't competed before that's considering it, do you think that they could compete earlier than 8 months or maybe wait a little bit longer? Like, how do you feel about the timing?
That's a difficult question, I think, because I think it depends on the person a little bit. It kind of depends. I know, like, where you're at, and I know this doesn't sound like a real answer, but for me it was good because I think I could have competed maybe a little bit earlier as well, I don't know, I haven't really thought about it, but I could still go and I could still fight and be okay, and like I got submitted and I got beat because I wasn't as good as the people because I'd been training longer and that was fine, that was okay. But I think probably just once you know jiu-jitsu a little bit more, like well enough to not panic when somebody's sitting on top of you, or not panic enough to like flail out and accidentally punch someone, that kind of thing.
Yeah. You've done enough jiu-jitsu to be at least a little bit controlled under pressure.
Yeah, but as well going in, I did one of the things I said to a lot of people when they asked me about like, oh, you got a competition coming, how are you feeling? One of the things I said was like, I don't feel like I'm ready. Like, I haven't been training long enough. I don't know enough jiu-jitsu, that kind of thing. And even going in, I was like, why is there a division for white belts? We don't know anything about jiu-jitsu. Why don't you just start at blue belt and then go up from there? But it was, it was good. It was positive and it helped me see quite a few of my flaws. Like, I got guillotined a lot, so that's something I needed to work on, obviously. Yeah. And standing up, as you said, as well. And even though I got beat and it was a very intense experience, it was still positive. And I don't think I could have learned more from it necessarily if I'd been training for longer.
Yeah.
Or maybe I could have, but not a lot more. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't completely wasted on me because I hadn't been training for too long.
Yeah, so if you'd been training longer, maybe you would have been better positioned to like win.
Yeah.
But the overall experience would be just as positive and you would have got just as much out of it.
Yeah, I still would have gotten beat by some people who were better than me and learned some of my flaws and what I need to work on in the crucible of the competition. You find out a lot of things.
That would apply at every level of jiu-jitsu, you know, even at black belt.
Yeah.
You'd still be getting beaten by people that are better than you and you'd find out where your holes are. It doesn't matter whether it's day one or, you know, 10 years in.
Yeah.
It's continually learning, hey.
Yeah.
How about you, Em? How do you feel about the timing of it?
So I agree with what you said at the beginning of that, that it completely depends on the person. There's no way I'd have gone through it at 8 months. So I'm not feisty. I'd never play fought before, and that took me a long time. I think I said this when I was on the first tie. It took me a long time to get into that. And the personal space wasn't an issue for me, but that... the aggression, even though it's friendly aggression,
mm-hmm.
and that instinct to just roll and to just play fight and just play with each other, that's something that I never done before. So I, when I decided, when I messaged you being like, yep, this is, I'm going to do this,
mm-hmm.
that was the first time that I'd ever thought, yeah, okay, I can do a comp. But the every time before that that somebody had mentioned comp or I'd heard people talk about comp, I was like, no, that's not part of my jiu-jitsu journey. Mm. So everybody goes through this completely different. And there's so many people that do jiu-jitsu and never do competitions.
Yeah.
And that's completely fine because it's their journey. And I think it depends a lot on what you want to get out of the competition. If you want to go in and win, then you go and you're ready and you feel like you can do it. Whereas I didn't go in to win because I know I wasn't aggressive enough to go in and just attack them. But I wanted to learn, and I achieved that, and I learned so much more than I thought I would and got so much more out of it than I imagined I would. So yeah, it's all what you want out of it and who it is.
Yeah. Yeah. You said that you don't think that you would have done it at 8 months, but let me pose a question to you in a different way. You're obviously, I think, one of our longest standing female.
Yep.
And one of the more senior females in the gym.
Yeah.
Do you, and obviously Phoebe, you're new and you've been training for 8 months. And so there's already, by the time you join, there's already like a little, you know, group of girls, and we're sort of building like some culture around that and getting some girls in the gym that are like, obviously Emma could have taught you a lot when you first came in because she was already on her way or you've been training for a year.
Yeah.
If you joined at the stage when Phoebe did, and there was already an Emma Gibson that was a year in front.
A Dr. Emma
maybe,
Gibson.
Maybe, yeah, Dr. Emma Gibson. I like that. Nicely done. Well played. Maybe you wouldn't be saying what you're saying now. You know, 8 months in, you've been brought up by like four or five other girls that are sort of in front of you. Your perception might be a bit different.
Yeah,
is
maybe.
Is that possible?
Yeah, so there were a few blue belt girls when I started,
mm-hmm.
but to my knowledge, none of them did comp, and that was never discussed whilst they were there. And for probably about a year, I didn't have a higher female in the school for a lot of it to be able to kind of gauge how I should be and where I was up. So it was, I knew that I could fight against you guys, but it was a very different style and different body weights and things. So yeah, I think maybe if there was a girl there and that was, you had that encouragement from a female perspective, maybe that would have been the inspiration I needed to go a little bit earlier.
Yeah. Have you guys got anything else to add? Because I know it's 7 o'clock now and you want to get to the Thursday night's class.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you want to say, Phoebe?
I'm sure I do, but it'll probably take me a while to think of it, to be honest. Okay. I'll wake up at 9 p.m. tonight and be like, oh, that's what it was.
How about you?
No, I think I've said everything I wanted to say and asked Phoebe everything I wanted to ask.
Okay, awesome. One quick thing before we go. Emma. So this is going to come out in like 3 weeks. So like this is already going to have been done by then. You know where this is going.
I know.
How are you feeling about doing your blue belt test tomorrow night? How are you feeling?
I'm actually really excited.
Yeah.
The last week I've probably got quite nervous and I was watching the videos and I was really relaxed about it. And I was like, we've worked so hard, it'll be fine. And then this week I've started to get a bit more nervous, but we've done so much work. And the guys and I have been training and revising, and now I'm just really excited and want to get on the mats and do it. And I'm just I can't wait. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm excited too. Yeah, it's so good. Like, you want to see everyone. Like, people get the opportunity to grade, and it's like, you know,
you train
with each other, so you want to see your friends sort of, you know, get those little milestones, whether it's a stripe or a belt. It's nice.
Yeah, it's nice how I really enjoy how proud we are of each other and how supportive we are, and you see someone get that stripe and you know that it's well earned.
For sure. And because it's never not no one gets stripes or belts if it's not earned.
No,
that's for sure.
Yeah,
so it's always nice to see like that reward.
Yeah
Okay, on that note, let's wrap it up here. Emma, good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
Phoebe, I'm sure, you know, 6-12 months, a little bit more time, your blue belt will come. Just hang in there. Everyone, thanks for tuning in, and I guess we'll be back next week. Cheers.
Bye.